Ek het die voorreg om vanmiddag met 'n kampioen te praat, 'n wêreldkampioen, 'n Suid-Afrikaanse kampioen. En Sandra Pienaar was 'n Suid-Afrikaanse kampioen in brander roei meer as 10 keer in haar lewe. Sy was in 2011 en in 2014 wêreldkampioen uit Klibega in Ou Port Elizabeth in die Oos-Kaap as ope kampioen van die wêreld 2011 en 2014. En in 2024 was sy in haar ouderdomsgroep wêreldkampioen. What a world champ 2011 and 2014 and in 2024 world champ and more than 10 times South African champion Sandra Pienaar. Sandra, goeiemôre en baie welkom hier by ons.
Middag Johan, lekker om saam met julle te wees.
Baie baie dankie dat jy hier is saam met ons vanmôre. Nou moet ek dan vir die luisteraars sê, wie is Sandra Els en Sandra Pienaar? Nou, Sandra Pienaar is niemand anders as my suster daar in Klibega. Wat 'n voorreg om jou te gesels vanmiddag, Sandra. Let's start. I want to ask you a question. What motivated you, Sandra, to pursue a career in sports?
Well, I was 10 years old at primary school, and a lady by the surname of Mrs. Dill, I'm sure you will remember her,
yes,
noticed that I'm actually very athletic. And from there, with the help of her and our dad, my sporting career took off. So it's been since I've been 10 years old that I've competed in various sports.
Now, Sandra, I mean, to be a world champion in 2011, 2014, 2024, being a South African champion more than 10 times in your lifetime, how do you handle the pressure of high-stakes competitions all over the world, not only in South Africa, but all over the world? How do you handle it?
Well, Johan, firstly, obviously, it's my faith in God, because without God, I'm really nothing. I think what we are is only by grace, and what we have is only temporary for us. So my faith is definitely the first thing. And the second thing is, and it's actually something that happened to me when I won. I was 43 when I won my first world title, but I've competed quite a few times before that. And it was because of an illness that my whole attitude changed from someone that would have been a little bit full of herself, should she have won before then, to someone who realized that to walk humbly is what gives you the strength to complete. It's the humbleness in it all.
Describe the challenging situation you faced in your athletic career, Sandra. And there were many through your life. And I remember our mother with you on so many beaches throughout the world. How did you overcome all these challenging situations when you had to go out and face the waves?
Well, good thing you talk about our mom, because I think she attended about 10 world championships with me all over the world. The last one being at the age of 83. Now, I was so fortunate that our mom was very religious. And I think her prayers helped me a lot. But also just having her next to the beach, giving me a hug when I went out, and another hug when I came out of the water. And just no matter how I did, whether I lost or won, it was always well done from mom. So I think mom taught me faith. Not faith in my ability, but faith in God.
Amen to that. Yeah, what a wonderful lady she was. Sandra, ek wil jou nou vra, as mens nou as 'n atleet, ek is nou geen atleet nie, maar as jy nou as 'n atleet hierdie krag moet hê, en jy weet die dinge gaan nie vir jou, die wind waai, die branders is nie reg nie, dit is dit en dit is dat, en die kompetisie is sterk, en mense kan maar snaaks wees partykeer teenoor jou, hoe hanteer jy dit?
Ach Johan, ek skakel maar net af as ek deelneem. Ja, ek skakel net af as ek deelneem. Ek dink is maar 'n gawe wat ek gekry het. Ek sien die dinge om my raak nie. Maar ook belangrik is terwyl jy deelneem, is om altyd 'n sportvrou te wees, deur die mense om jou ook te motiveer. Maak nie saak of hulle selfs jou opposisie is nie. Ek bedoel, in my geval, as ek Eden klaar gery het en ek is eerst op die strand, dan wag ek vir my opposisie om saam met hulle te stap, want ek wil vir hulle dankie sê vir saam met my ry en ek ook vir hulle sê baie goed gery. Jy weet, dis die geheim van sport en druk hanteer, is jy moet absoluut 'n ander opponent toejuig terwyl hulle ook deelneem. En dadelik vat dit die druk van jou af. En dis nie 'n valsheid nie. Dit moet 'n genuineheid wees. En dan die jy praat van die branders en die wind en alles is deur mekaar en jy's bang. Ja, ek het op my bord Psalm 91 op die punt van my bord 'n sticker of 'n plakker wat sê U is my toevlug en veilige vesting, my God op wie ek vertrou. En ek sê dit vir myself oor en oor en oor terwyl ek in die water is. En is ongelooflik, net so Simon Petrus, verdwyn al die golwe rondom my as ek my oë net op Jesus hou. Maar die oomblik as ek ophou, dan sien ek al die wind en die groot branders om my raak. So dit is een van die maniere hoe ek dit hanteer.
Share with each and every one of us an example of how you handled some disappointing performance when you didn't do well. I mean, it happens in sports, in all sports. That day when you are so disappointed, not in other people, but in yourself, when your performance was a setback. How do you handle this? And I ask this question because so many people do not know how to handle disappointment when setbacks do arrive.
Well, Johan, firstly, if I lose on the day, you know, like the old saying goes, don't lose the lesson. And for me, I'm disappointed for a couple of hours, especially when you lose a world title and come second many times. And then tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm looking forward to correcting what I did wrong the previous day. So there's a new flame inside of me to go and make it better. So you've got to have that attitude if you want to overcome anything that happened to you in your sport. I mean, my case, I think I came second 5 or 6 times that I actually eventually did not play with a number 2 ball in golf. I was so anti number 2 in the world. So that's the one way that I overcome it. And if the contest, if it's during the contest and the contest still continues for men or for other age groups, the quickest I get over disappointment is I go in and encourage my fellow competitors, my fellow team members. I sit out there, I clap when they're doing well, I wish them well when they go in, I say congratulations when they come out. So the focus moves from me to someone else. And I think that's my personality, and I'm most probably very lucky to have that as a trait. It's like, you know, you really have to understand in your heart that sport and achieving a title is only a thing. It's only a game. It doesn't change your life. It doesn't change who you are. That person must still stay the same, whether you lose or whether you win. And I think that's something I worked on for many years, and that took the pressure off me when losing, or even when winning, not letting it go to my head.
Sandra, talking about this, I want to ask you this question. How have you dealt with constructive criticism when coaches or teammates or your opponents came with criticism? And that happens to so many sporting people all around the world and in every team of sports, to handle criticism, negative and constructive. How did you manage to do that?
Okay, to start with positive criticism. I mean, if you've done sport like I have with sports psychologists, biokineticists, anything like that, you learn that positive criticism is something you need to get excited about. It's something that you can't wait to implement. and you think about it. It's not something someone says and you just take it on take it as it is at face value. It's something that makes you think. And then you start thinking creatively about how you're going to achieve what they are talking to you positively that you can change. Negative criticism, I just ignore it. I must be quite honest. It doesn't faze me at all. And if I can say so, I don't really get much negative criticism in my later years in the sport. I think I try and set an example for the youngsters and people around me on how to be humble and how to support no matter if it's your opposition. And I think that takes away negative criticism from others. And if there are people that are like that, it just doesn't bug me at all. I'm God's child, and I stay true to who I am.
Sandra, I want to ask you your pre-game or what shall I call it? Your pre-competition routine. And it's so important. Even if I think of my grandchildren now playing cricket or rugby or doing athletics this time of the year at school. And even though they may still be in kindergarten or primary school or high school or whatever sport they play, there must be a routine pre-game, pre-competition. How do you do it?
Yes, I make sure that for at least 4 months, I work out with my biokineticist. I go to NMU's High Performance. I'm very privileged to be there. And my sports psychologist always says to me, there's a 10-90 rule. I'm sure that a lot of the people listening now, I'm giving my secrets away. But the 90 or 10% rule is you must control the controllables, which is 90% of your preparation. And that is what you drink, what you eat, how much you sleep, how much you train, things we can control. The uncontrollables is the wind blowing and the waves are massive. And what happens is the person who doesn't conquer the 90%, they don't do the preparation, gets scared when the 10% hit them. Well, if you've done the 90% preparation, the eating and the sleeping, when the 10% comes and the waves are massive and you're not scared because you have confidence that you've prepared enough. Routine-wise, when I compete, it's normally a week. It's actually, you'd know, as my brother, I'm not the tidiest person around. But when I compete, my medicine has to face me perfectly in a perfect line. Everything's got to stand in a certain way. I also have on my board, I have little stickers in the middle from my sports psychologist, a dot, an S, an I, and an R, which is the dot is stop. Identify the options, choose the response, SIR. Those are things I look at and press on that before I go into the sea. And then obviously Psalm 91, without that, I can't go in the water. And that's the immediate preparation.
Amen
before I paddle
that.
Out.
Sandra Pinar, world champion 2011, 2014, 2024 in her category, and South African champion more than 10 times. I've got 1 minute before the news, and I want to ask you, and I want to play you a song after the news, The Goodness of God, and I know that is a song that it was your song at the World Champs. In 1 minute, Sandra Pinar, what are the guiding principle as a child of God by the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that you can testify about?
I think Johann, like Micah 6 verse 8, live justly, love mercy and kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And that is something for every sports person and every person in normal life, in business. I think those principles is by which I walk with my sports.
Sandra Pinar, 2011, 2014, 2024. Wereldkampioen in branderoei, meer as 10 keer Suid-Afrikaanse kampioen in branderoei en iemand wat sê, die goedheid van God omring my. Sandra Pinar, my suster, baie baie dankie, baie seën vir jou groete en ek speel vir jou hierdie ene, ons kan die nuus oor 5 minute doen, maar hierdie ene speel ek spesiaal in die nuustyd vir elkeen wat saam met jou stem vanmiddag. Daar's geen berg te hoog om te klim in die naam van my Here. Dankie Sandra, groete, liefde.
Dankie Johan. Seen.